Today marks the 100th anniversary of the death of Arthur Griffith. Griffith, a founder of Sinn Féin, president of Dáil Éireann, led the Irish delegation in the treaty negotiations in London in 1921, which led to the creation of the Irish Free State. But 8 months later, he was dead, suffering a brain hemorrhage at the age of 51. He died just 10 days before his fellow treaty negotiator, Michael Collins. A number of low-key events are to take place over the coming days to mark the centenary of his death. There'll be a ceremony in the grounds of Griffith Barracks, another at Leinster House Lawn, as well as Glasnevin Cemetery over the weekend. Colm Kenny is Emeritus Professor at DCU. He's author of Arthur Griffith, Father of Us All, and A Bitter Wind, Ireland's Civil War. And we're also joined by Shane Gray, who's Arthur Griffith's grandson. And you're both very welcome to the programme. And Shane, I know you've pulled over. You're on your way to Griffith Barracks for one of those ceremonies today to remember your grandfather. Of course, he was dead many years before you were born. Your mother was just a young girl at the time. But what stories were told to you by your mother and by your grandmother, I think, who was a big influence in your life?
That's right. Good morning. As you say, I'm on my way from Connemara to Dublin. of course, as you say, I never knew my grandfather, sadly. My mother, Isa, was only 10 when he died at 51. But his wife, my grandmother Maud, did outlive him by 40-odd years and died in her 90s in 1964. And I was privileged enough to spend good time with her because my parents were living abroad and my boarding school holidays, Christmas and Easter, were spent with Granny Griffith in Terenure. And I have fond memories of her as a woman of small stature but great heart, a feisty woman who had strong views about the Civil War period and how Arthur was treated. And of course he did die of stress and overwork, and that brought on the brain hemorrhage, as Dr. St. John Gogarty, his doctor, stated at the time. So, yes, she was, if not bitter, certainly had strong views. The name De Valera could never be mentioned in the house. Mm. He was just referred to as that long string of misery, which I suppose wasn't totally inaccurate. But, through her I did learn some things, but she vowed pretty well never to speak about those awful times, and indeed burned much of the papers and letters, which Colm Kenny was disappointed about when he went to do his research. There seemed so little available.
Mm, and Colm Shane is here with us. And what a pity that those letters were lost, Colm. But you had much to go to in your research for the book.
I had, and I'd like to say that in hindsight, after the Civil War, there was indeed much bitterness, but Griffith was very loyal to De Valera throughout. He yielded very gracefully to him as to become president of Sinn Féin and supported him throughout the period when De Valera went to America for much of the Civil War, for much of the War of Independence, for example. Griffith was acting president of the Dáil and always supported De Valera. And I think if you want a real tribute to think of how Griffith was seen then, man who had founded Sinn Féin and who had first articulated the whole concept of an independent Dáil, and to which the Dáil in a way owes its existence, just look at what his enemies said. And people like Erskine Childers, who got on very badly with him 2 days after Griffith died. Erskine Childers wrote in Public na hÉireann, the news sheet of the anti-treaty side during the bitter War of Independence, that Griffith was the greatest intellectual force stimulating the tremendous national revival. Mm-hmm. And he praised his almost single-handed combat against political torpor in Ireland in the early 20th century. And Sean T. O'Kelly, a future president of Ireland of Fianna Fáil, he was in jail at the time, a guest of the Nation of the Free Staters. And yet he wrote to Griffith's widow a few days after Griffith's death that Griffith's long years of toil and sacrifice had brought the present generation of Irishmen from their knees to their feet and rekindled in their hearts the almost extinct flame of liberty. And if you read the witness statements in the Bureau of Military Archives, those of people like Mary McSweeney, for instance, Terence McSweeney's sister, who gave the longest speech against the treaty in the Dáil, they're very complimentary to Griffith and how he inspired them. He was a remarkable man, and his treaty, in many ways, that he negotiated in London when De Valera wouldn't go, in many ways is amounted to, if you like, the best that could be made of what had been, of what had happened in the War of Independence.
And a question to you both, and I'll come to you first, Shane, about how the family felt about how your grandfather was treated by politics in Ireland and now by history.
Well, I suppose to some extent, as a folk hero, he lived very much in the shadow of Collins, Michael Collins, who was the hero and died heroically in battle and so on. That charisma was not something Griffith had. He had, as Colum says, so many other attributes, and worked all his life so hard for finally achieving freedom, which we'd been struggling for 700 years. So he was never going to be commemorated as a folk hero, but he should be remembered. I was at a symposium in Dublin Castle recently, and Colum was speaking, and someone asked him from the floor, what did he think Griffith's greatest achievement was? And he simply said, the foundation of our nation.
Colum, a final brief word.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we need to remember Griffith, and fair play to the independent TD from Waterford, Matt Shanahan, who's organised today's event, when the other political parties, who are somewhat embarrassed by the legacy of Griffith, he reminds them of things. He was more radical economically than Fine Gael. Of course, the Civil War destroyed a lot of what might have been achieved under the treaty in relation to Northern Ireland. Both Collins and Griffith expected Tyrone, Fermanagh, for instance, to be in the Free State. And so to these people, perhaps he's best forgotten, and he riles them up in a coalition where the two parties don't have much to distinguish the scene between them, perhaps, except the Civil War legacy.
All right. Thank you both very much indeed for joining us, Colum Kenny and Shane Gray at